some reason, I don't think that's the hymn I want, brother. 489 is Faith of Our Fathers is what I wanted. 487. Thank you. 487 is what the hymn I want. Faith of Our Fathers. It has to do with a testimony, living a conduct in order to win the lost. 487. Does this verse seem like there's application where it read, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, the faith of our fathers? Yes. And how blessed we'd be if we'd be like them. They were faithful to walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let's see whether the next hymn has any application. Take time to be holy. 700 evangelism, my friends, by the matter of conduct and speech. 706.
Yeah. Father, as we look
at your precious word tonight, we pray that we may be wise in our conduct and wise in our relations with the lost, the unsaved, and that we might walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And so, by thy Spirit, we ask that we might have teaching. We pray also that we might have the follow examples of those, the faith of our fathers, those spiritual men and women that lived in such a way you was pleased to use them. And we pray that as in this day in which we live, that you may use us. And so we need help. We're asking tonight that you would help us as we consider this matter of living in a way that will, that you would be pleased to use us, and that we might maximize the time that we have while we're here, for time, our time is short. May our Lord Jesus receive honor. May he be pleased. May his Spirit have free course with us. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know whether we can sing the last Bob, if you want to go back and sit, or maybe you want to sit here. Maybe we'll sing that. I think we could sing it, but it's last hymn. I don't think we're going to sing it right now. So, now, Brother Rick, this letter you put up here, I haven't read it, and I see it's 1, 2. Read 4. Excuse me, please.
We can just mention the prayer request time if you want.
You've digested. Good. Wow, that's nice. Nice. Let's see, we'll get his name before I forget it. And his name is...
Jesse Eister.
How do you spell that, brother?
Jesse Eister.
Eister. Well, here we are, and are we going to learn anything, or are we just going to just take the time of being here and having a few words of prayer? I'm just going to kind of open this up tonight. I'm not finished with this. I say that frequently, but that's the truth. If by way of review, it's talking about evangelism, in case you didn't know. The first had to do with prayer in this section of chapter 4 of Colossians, where we start and read verses 2 through 4, evangelism by prayer, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us also, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, that, and for which I am also in bond, that I may make it manifest I God to speak. And that has all to do with relationship, evangelism, by way of prayer. Now, verses 5 and 6 has a different style. It has evangelism having to do with our conduct and our speech. What do you mean? Well, that we might walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, and let your speech be alway with grace seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And so that's the task before us. I am going to use the illustration of John Piper, which I think is quite interesting, although I am not militaristic as far as my philosophy of life, but I thought we're in a battle, spiritually speaking, and there's onward Christian soldiers. And John looks at this passage, and I think it's just good enough to share some of the ideas, not that I have his message, but a couple of his ideas. He says, you know, this passage you're looking at, verses 5, especially 5 and 6, he says, I want you to kind of think of soldiers that are in another country. There's a war going on, and there's a spiritual warfare going on. And he says, when you're a soldier in another country, you're on special guard. You walk very carefully. Well, you've seen pictures of our boys in Iraq. They walk around with a gun. They're very careful. He said, now that's where we are. We are, we're aliens. We're sojourners. We're pilgrims. But there's a war going on. And there's such a thing as fiery darts from Satan. Now, I'm not giving you to exactly how Piper says it. This is how I'm kind of my slant on it. But I'm saying that that's pretty good, because the soldiers are keeping in contact with the command headquarters. What? Well, you've heard of walkie-talkies, isn't it? You say, come on. Now we use cell phones. Whatever.
I had a man call me from the barn. That's very nice. Instead of walking all the way up here, he called me on the phone from the barn. Walkie-talkies or cell phones, they're terrific. But we have a walkie-talkie with a command headquarters if we're soldiers for Jesus Christ. It is prayer. Well, what are you trying to do? A little review, that's what I'm trying to do. And that is verse 2 and 3 and 4. A little review. Doesn't hurt to go back over and see if you learned anything. What does it mean? Well, you can call back to headquarters and say, would you do that with that verse there of verse 3? Would you, Lord, blast open a door for us? Yeah. Open the door of utterance. The prayer aspect of evangelism. Praying that in that verse there it says continue to be persistent in prayer. Not on again, off again at Flanagan's, but to be persistent in prayer. Have you had KP today? I don't want to call it a duty, but a privilege. Have you? Are you praying? Are you keep praying? You say, I'm going to get tired of hearing that. Well, you get tired of it. I need to talk to myself too, you know. And I'm going to say, listen, it's very serious. The Bible says so. Look at verse 2. Continue in prayer. And that has the idea of that asking the Lord to give you your bearings. I'm out here in this wilderness, and there's all kinds of, enemies. We're in an area that you can be, if you're not careful, Christians. Yes, I believe Christians can walk as fools. Say, well, this is the way I went to school, this is the way I do it, and you start walking like the world. That's what the Bible says. Listen, you call back and ask for help, or you call up. May I have some bearings about how I should act myself as an old man, as a young man? How should I act? I'm praying there. Continue to be praying. And by the way, friends, in case you didn't know it, there are some minefields, spiritually speaking. Don't think that you have the answer and you've been there, done that, and you don't have any need to pray. I'm telling you, verse 2 is very popular as far as thinking that in this day in which we live, it's up to date, and we need to be persistently praying and asking at the headquarters to help us and to guide us. And secondly, that to watch this to praying that we be watchful. I know this so much electronically. You can jam the airwaves. You say, well, so what? I'm talking about the airwaves between those of us who know Christ and headquarters. And those airwaves can be jammed if you're not careful. And we jam them by our carelessness. Yeah, it is. Look at verse 5 if it's not so. We can jam those head. You know what? What can you talk about when your life's not consistent as lost sinners? Do you feel like talking? I don't say much because, hey, I'm not doing something right. And that's airways being jammed. Now, but Piper didn't say it that way. I can tell you that. I'm saying it that way. I'm saying is that you can get sidetracked. We can be sidetracked and walk as fools. I don't care if you have, you're young and whatever, you're gray-haired, we can walk as fools. Not for Christ, but in this world. Time is short. We got to be careful to take this scripture seriously. And so you see, if we're going to walk carelessly and it doesn't make that much difference, I'm not going to change, then we're sitting ducks. My brother, when he was in the Korean War, they put governors on his... He delivered gasoline in the Korean aspect, and he said it was cold, and he said, I could only go so fast, and he said, they just picked off these gas trucks, and he said, I did something that was against the law, loss of rank. He said, he was raising a garage situation, he took the governor off. He did that with the Jeep, too, and he said, I wasn't going to go just so smooth they can just pick us off, and he said, I went irregular and so forth, and he came back. Now listen, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that if you are not careful, you will be a sitting duck. And Satan will say, fire! And you get some darts, and you're just you're out of commission. But I tell you, I think this is very important, this section of review about continuing prayer and watch. The same with Thanksgiving. Let me use that further. The idea of thankfulness. And if you're in the battlefield and you call for help and they send the planes in and they bomb out the area ahead of you, you can actually call by a walkie-talkie and say, "Thank you, sir, it's a good hit. And they did this." And we can say, "Thank you, God, that was a good blast. That was a good word. That person did hear the gospel. And I think momentum was made. Thank you, sir." Where do you get that? Look at it in yourself, the last part of verse 2. And if we're in this battle and we have some days that God gives us some privileges, you'll say, "Thank you, Lord." And then this business of praying for those who are especially out there in the front lines. And that is, it said, pray for them. And Paul's saying, would you pray that God would open a door of utterance? That I might be able to speak, that we might to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Oh, the mystery of Christ. That's something to say, well, nobody then, it's not to be noticed or explained. Oh, yes, it is. The mystery of Christ that wasn't known in previous ages, that here is Christ, God, as a man. And he lived here 30-some years. And he was a Savior, the Messiah, who walked in love and he helped people. And tell them about Jesus. And he died there for our, in our place. He took our hell. He took our sins. He became sin. And not only did he die, he was buried. In 3 days he rose again. And after his resurrection, he ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for him. And he's coming back. And he said, listen, if you receive me, repent of your sins and receive me as your Savior, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Sealed. I tell you, to be sealed is a wonderful thing. And to be saved by faith. Justification by faith. Not guilty. That's the mystery of Christ. Do you talk about the mystery of Christ? You say, well, I don't already have a chance to do that. Well, I think we need to pray for one another. And that we might do as verse 4 says, as a way of review, that I may make it manifest. As I ought to speak, how I might be able to take care of every situation. Now then, tonight, let's look at verse 5. And to just as open and perhaps get back to, I'm not going into verse 6 about evangelism by speech, but tonight evangelism by conduct. And that's important. You see, the Bible makes it clear that we're epistles. We're living epistles. What's an epistle? A letter. People, the only Bible some people ever read is you. And you've an influence. How are you making out? Are they reading you? Are you? How about you in verse 5? Are you walking in such a way that they're actually seeing Christ? That you're walking wisely? That's what verse 5 is saying to us. Oh, yes. It says, be wise. Be wise with whom? Well, it says, toward them that are without. Who are the without? Well, they're the lost. They're those who are not Christians. He said, well, now, how am I supposed to walk wisely towards them that are without? And, well, the Bible's got a lot to say about it in redeeming the time. I believe in order for us to walk wisely, to have wise behavior, it's going to take a little diligence on our part. If I'm planning for a business thing, I'm going to take some time and think about it and write some things down. I do some preparation ahead of time. I believe the best preparation for evangelism is to have a close walk with the Lord. You can argue that all you want to. And that is that you're in contact with headquarters and you're praying, God help me. And there's the people who are lost and are going to soon die and go to hell, and I need to say something to them because I'm going to have to give account for my stewardship, whether I was a goof off or whether I really did serve the Lord Jesus, and not be legalistically about the whole matter, but doing it lovingly because I love the Lord Jesus for what he's done for me. But I want to say this, along with that saying you need a closer walk with the Lord, there's need for us, as we've already seen, there's need for us to be prayerful. Look at it. We need to pray. And we need to not only to pray, but we need to meditate upon the Word of God. Just for me to read a passage
and say, okay, I read the Bible today. I read the Bible and I said a prayer. Don't do it that way. If somebody gave you a test for 2 hours later, could you pass it? Could you even tell them where what you read? You say, well, I don't think you have to. Yes, I do think we have to do that. We're to meditate upon the Word of God. Chew a cud. Animals, that is ruminants, they chew a cud. And they eat it, and it goes down into one of the stomachs and the acid and so forth, and they bring it back up and they chew it. You say, well, that's gross. Oh, they love it. God made them that way. And they make meat, and they make milk and cheese and all those good things to ruminate the Word of God. When you leave here tonight and say, well, I don't know what I did here. It didn't make that much sense to me. But, oh, I think we're responsible to say, okay, preacher, you got to do the same as we do. You got to look that over again, what you said and what you studied. Yes, sir. And you have to look it over. What is it? Walk wisely and have a behavior. That word walk means conduct. Uh-oh. I've got to talk about my conduct. That's what it means there, verse 5. The word walk could be translated conduct. Yeah. Your conduct be wise towards them that are without. Boy, that is something. How am I going to get wise? Meditate, prayer. I think that we ought to go and hear good sound teaching. I think church's attendance is very important, especially if the Bible is given there, that we do it religiously. I say this to you in all kindness. We're more interested in money many times than we are about hearing the Word of God. I say it in kindness. We maybe even use the excuse so we didn't have to do that. And I speak not for you, but just how natural it is. But we'll be there to work, won't we? You betcha. You know what? If you really want to know about it, I think there's a danger here. The First Thessalonians would do a better job the next book. First Thessalonians would do a better job than me trying to say something and you get a little irritated. Let's turn First Thessalonians 5, 9 through 12. Why? It's telling us how to have wise behavior. It's telling us how that we can be gracious and how we might so live to please the Lord. What verses in the fourth chapter of First Thessalonians? Well, let me start at verse 9. Listen to these words. Boy, this is good. It said, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's amen. Now, in verse 10, indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Mm-hmm. That's to the Christians. Now what? He said further about wise conduct. Look at verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without and that ye have lack of nothing. Who's that apply to? Yeah, it applies to all of us. Say, I want to love the brethren and love them more. And then I need to do as the Bible says. God says, you need to study, S-T-U-D-Y. And in studying, you need to say, all right, now I need to learn to be quiet. Yes. And then I need to do my business right. What kind of business are you in? Well, I do this and do that. How are you doing with it? The man said, well, I can do this and bring you that. I said, now, wait a minute. I don't know if I'll have the money to pay. He said, oh, you can pay me later. I said, and then I'd be indebted to you, wouldn't he? He said, yep. I said, well, the Bible says we're not to be in debt to anyone. I said, I better see whether I can afford whether you come back. How are you doing with business? Oh, are you one of these guys that's the big thing in life is money grabbing? Oh, man, Sunday I go to church, but Monday through Saturday I grab money. I get every opportunity. I'm a big money grabber. And that's my thinking. Would you look at that passage? Would you argue with it? Don't argue with me.
and to be quiet and to do your own business, to work with your own hands as we command you, and that ye may walk your conduct be honestly toward them that are without. I guess you read that in Colossians too, didn't we? And that ye have that ye may have a lack of nothing. He that doesn't work shouldn't eat. If any man provide not for his own, he's worse than an infidel. Well, such passages. And he says, don't be lazy. As Americans, we're as lazy as we can get away with. You know that? Don't be lazy. Be busy. Work with your hands. And then this last part here, fourth chapter of Colossians, that last part, you know what that word, redeeming the time, verse 5, that's a business term. It really is. Redeeming a time, have a timely purchase, the best time. It has the idea, look for opportunities. Look for it. When you gals go to the store, don't you get the paper aside and look at the bargains of the week? Don't you spend a little time making your plans? Sure you do. Good. And it says, well, do that the way spiritually. What? Verse 5, the last three words. And that goes for us men folk, us boys. And that is, we're to redeem the time, because to make opportunities, timely opportunities, because, well, the Bible says time is short. And I don't need to say it over and over again, but it's pretty good to say, hey, listen, if a person has Christ, they go to heaven. If a person doesn't have Christ, they go to hell. You say, well, I know that. Well, do you? Redeem the time. Buy up opportunities to talk about the Lord Jesus. Look for it, in season and out of season. Well, some people give the impression that I have to be real clever to talk to people. I have to be real smart to talk about the Lord. I don't know that you got to be so smart to talk about the Lord. I look for opportunities. Well, so you do. But I do. There's no use saying in the words. I look for opportunities. Look for every time I talk to somebody, look for an opportunity. What do you want to talk about? I want to talk to them about the Lord and the need to know Christ in order that they not spend hell, in their eternity in hell. Do you really do that? Yeah. I was walking at a place on Monday, and there was just the two of us at a place. Here comes a fellow. He's, I suppose, a little older than me, and he's walking this way, and I'm walking this way, and I said, hi. He said, hi. How are you? And he said, oh, any day above ground is a good day. I said, oh, hey, I want to talk to you about that. You didn't? Yeah. And I said, you know, the Bible says that to die and to be with Christ is far better. Did you ever hear that? He said, well, I just haul the Amish. I said, well, that's good. But, you know, there's a matter of knowing the Lord and going to heaven. I said, that's so important. You need to know that. Yeah, he said, I guess you're right. And then I have this funny way. I keep in my, you know, the laugh now. I keep ultimate questions and which way we go and so on. I stick it in under my shirt here. I don't want it all bent up and all wrinkled up and bent over. And I say, oh, I got something that may help you understand even more what I'm saying. And pull one of them out and give it to them. Well, that's good for you. Give you an A. Listen, you judge me the way you want to judge me. What are you doing? You say, well, I don't go that way. Well, I'm different. Sure, we're all different. But we have to be gracious, and we have to have a presentation. And you are what you are, and I am what I am. And so, but do you talk about the Lord? The 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12 tells you explicitly. Don't have the preacher tell you. Look at the Word of God. Look at verse 5. It said, I want you to walk wisely, your behavior, your conduct. And he said, and then to realize not only that, that life is short. Redeeming the time. And you can waste it. Now you have to relax. Come on. Some of you folk maybe need to relax even a little more, but so there has to be some relaxation. But even in relaxation, you can speak about the Lord. You know, if we're not carrying out verse 5, boy, we need help. that our conduct would be wise conduct. And if they can, neighbors are watching, they can spot us as hypocrites or as phonies. You say, I don't want that to be. Hey, neighbors, they watch. I read a story of a man who was a neighbor, and he wanted to win the neighbor to the Lord, but he said it just didn't seem like it would work out. He said he really prayed for him. He's prayed for him a long time, and I've had this experience. My wife will verify this, that neighbors, that you're burdened for them and so forth, and it may be a while till you get an opportunity, but sometimes things open up. This man, he wanted to talk to this neighbor, and as it is with many times things like this happen, his wife got ill and she died. And the neighbor was very sorrowful. He was really upset about his wife dying. And so this other neighbor, he apparently went to the funeral. But he noticed that he started to walk after the funeral, started to walk down along a creek or something. And he said, I didn't say anything, but he knew I was behind him. And he said, I just walked behind him. Didn't talk to him. I just walked behind him and walked behind him. And he said, we went a certain distance, and he stopped me and said, hey, I think we ought to have something to eat. Let me give you something to eat. You know, friends, you can smile and say, that's not me. You know, that neighbor come to know the Lord because all he did was follow him for a while. And then when he stopped or something, he said, I think we ought to go get something to eat. Let's go get something to eat. That's all he said to his neighbor. And after that, the neighbor went to church with him, heard about the Lord, whatever, come to know Christ. See, that's what that's saying there, redeeming the time, walking your conduct, your behavior, how we need to petition headquarters, Lord, help me. Because we have enough of the old nature, dear friends, and we can act like fools. And not fools for Christ either. That's what we should be. Don't worry much about being fools for Christ. Being foolish in this world, and they will not listen to you. It's really sad when you're at a place and there's people talking, and you say something and nobody just keeps on talking. I was taught that that's ignorant. Wait till the person has kind of stopped, and then say something, and then you shut up. Let that person have something to say. He may have something to say to you. But some people become so that we just keep on blabbing when other people are talking. But listen, they won't listen to you. They say, well, Robbins, whatever, you know what? I've dealt with him business-wise. He'll take you. Or you got to watch him. You say, oh, come on. I was told about a fellow who's going to be a preacher. And the guy said, you know what? He declared bankruptcy and he took a lot of us. In the old days, you went bankrupt, you still had the responsibility of paying your debtors. Oh, no. Oh, yes. But it's changed, I suppose, now. As much as possible, those who you took or that lost money, you try to pay them back. But that is something out of date, I know. Don't do that anymore. But living for Christ and evangelism by conduct, and verse 6 is by speech. Is the Lord willing? We'll get on this a little more, but verse 6, you can have a little before we get into it. And what does it say? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Life is short. You dare not waste it. And if the Lord's done a work in your life, you've got to look for opportunities and doors to be open, and you can pray headquarters where you in your corner and I in mine, and ask the Lord to give us a day that will please him. I still think that if you really come down to it, you don't have to go to Bible school, but if you learn what it is to walk close to the Lord and you take care of those sins that cause you to be guilty and say, I know he see me saying anything. I've not been consistent. Well, the Lord forgives. Is this worthy of reading the whole thing, Richard? Or you say, is this pretty wordy or is it good?
You'll want to read it at some point, but I can just give you a summary if you like, if you, unless you want to read the whole letter.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to do that, but Bob, if you don't mind, I think this would be a good closing hymn, 668. I think it has application to our Colossians 4 and verse 5. That is 668, if you'll sing it with me. Pray, let's have Brother Rick give a little resume of this letter and this new fella. Would you, Brother?
Ishmael included this letter in his note of today, and he's Jesse Eister, about 38 years old, from Harrisburg area, and he's been in the criminal justice system since juvenile probation. He said he went to church as a child with his mother and his stepfather, but he never felt welcome there. He said he didn't have a shirt and tie and just wasn't included in the church. And then he got into trouble as a teenager, ended up in juvenile probation, and said he had nowhere else to go, so he came to know the Lord at age 16. And then after he got out of juvenile detention at age 18, he said he kind of drifted back into doing things his own way and got into alcohol and drugs. He said that never had any attraction for him, though, and he's thankful that he didn't get hooked on it. But he then did get into some additional trouble, was in and out of jail, and although at various times in jail, he said he read his Bible and got into some Bible study, but didn't really have support and foundation enough to sustain him on the outside. And he said in 2002 he recommitted his life to the Lord and tried to be more faithful. But then in 2007 he was out of jail again and ended up with a theft charge, a probation violation, and now he's in for 2.5 to 5 years. And he said that he's praising God, though, because God's using it for him to, you know, get further grounded in the Word so that he has the foundation that he needs for, you know, when he is released, probably late 2009.
October the 10th that he has here, 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's looking forward to that as his probable release date, and he expects to be released back to the Harrisburg area to a halfway house, which would probably put him in very close proximity to Jerome.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Jesse Eyster.
E-Y-S-T-E-R, Jesse.
He did ask for prayer in his letter. He didn't really, make mention of a Bible or anything at this point, but he does ask for prayer.
Before closing my letter to you, I would like for you to pray for me, your brother in Christ, Jesse. Esther. E-Y-S-T-E-R. Well, this prison ministry is getting to be something you need to take seriously. There are people who will take advantage of the incarceration and get right with the Lord. And you have had a ministry with them. I don't know how many Bibles we've sent, but maybe we can find out sometime, brother. But as I've said to you, that they aren't cheap, and we need to be praying. God will use us as we have contact. So pray for Jesse Eyster. Now, I've talked to a young man. I don't think he's 30 yet. And I was led to speak to him. And then I purchased some. He's selling some wood, and I purchased some wood from him. And I found he was very, quite intelligent. And he knew quite a bit of the book, but he said he's not a church man. He said, I'm not a Christian, but boy, he sure knows about the Lord. And he asked me a lot of questions, and I tried to answer them while we're unloading wood, firewood. And he said something about, when is your service? I said, 10 o'clock. Sunday morning, 7 o'clock in the evening. I'll be there. And I said, well, that's great. You'd be welcome. You'll hear the word of God. I said, bring your grandpa along too. He said, you know what? I believe I can arrange for grandpa to come. I know he's a grandpa. I didn't know it when I met him first, but I know he's grandfather, Dio Shetler. And he said, I'll be there. Now we'll see what happens. Will you pray for a young man by the name of Yarson? His middle name is Deal, named after his grandfather, Deal Shetler. I call him Deal. Like, by the way, do you know Ken Knighton's name is not Kenneth? It's William Kenneth Knighton. They call him Ken. So I said, it'd be all right if I call you Deal because I'm familiar. He said, that's fine. Call me Deal. So Deal Yarson. Y-A-R-I-S. Yarish. It's H. Y-A-R-A-S-H. Yarish. I think that's right. Plans to be here Sunday morning. And I will say this. I went to school with his aunt. Great aunt. Annie. And she married a Mormon. And I have an idea that Mormonism has gotten into a little bit of the crawl of this young man. Dan even also saw that possibility. We'll pray for Deal Yarish and his grandpap Neil Shetler if they show up Sunday morning. And as Brother Rick gives the word, it is your turn, isn't it, Brother?
Yeah.
But you'll pray. Now listen, I mentioned Ken Knighton, didn't I? Haven't seen him for a while. Do you pray for people you don't see for a while? I've talked to him when he was in California, but I wonder if you'll pray for Ken. He's had, I think, a pretty hard matter to consider. So maybe you'd pray for Ken Knighton.
He is very thankful. Oh, and feel blessed that his body's safe.
Oh, amen.
And, sounded to me like he was praising the Lord.
Yeah. But he lost his brother, you know.
Yeah.
I'm still looking for somebody with some, a little bit of a, you say, well, there's no problem. It is to me. If I'm going to keep this book in my pocket for 60 pages, both sides, I ought to have some kind of method, and I have my idea. Do you have any method how you might have prayer request, the date, and the date that God answers? This, we've got 20 of these. I'm going to pass them around. My wife thinks I'm... Whoa! Whoa! What did we do that for? That's slippery. I don't want to throw that. Any ideas? By the way, you Germans ought to be really full of this because you're very, very careful, meticulous about keeping records. Did I need to remind you of that? That's good. That's good. I'm not making light of that. Who else and what else? Oh, maybe you had, I didn't give you the opportunity for any input, did I? And we got time. Have you any opportunity for input on the matter of this subject, which I said, be careful and look twice. You know where I get that?
Boy across the street.
When my wife leaves the car, I said, now, be careful and don't forget to look twice. Isn't that right, honey?
Yeah.
And I think spiritually, be careful. Be wise. And look out, there's enemies out there. And there's the fiery darts of the enemy. So look twice. Maybe you have some further thoughts of that introduction tonight.
Today I had the question come up at work. Why mm-hmm. Why does the church, not this church, but why does the church require baptism first before the observance of the Lord's Supper? And I explained to her that that's the biblical prescription for the order of the ordinances.
Amen.
And she came around to tell me that her husband's being baptized on Sunday, and then she mentioned about how friend of hers who hasn't really been, the way she put it was, she hasn't been living like a Christian, but she was baptized at age 12. And I said, well, baptism isn't really anything that saves. And she says, yeah, I know that, but she was supposed to have made a profession of faith, and she didn't live that way in high school, she said.
Yeah.
And so she thinks that she ought to be baptized, or she said she asked her friend the other day if she was going to be baptized again. And I said, well, you know, why would she do that? And she said, well, she needs to, you know, she needs to live like a Christian. And, you know, so then we talked about how some people believe that mm-hmm. Baptism saves and how that isn't really true. And but it seems like her husband is considering what to say on Sunday as far as how the Lord has worked in his life. She said she was surprised that when the pastor mentioned last night, I guess, that he was going to be given an opportunity to say something, and Randy said he was already considering that.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she was surprised that he was willing to say something, but I said, well, you know, that's proper to, you know, for a new believer to make a statement of what they believe.
Amen. So. Now, did any of you read Letters to the Editor, Sun Gazette, about Monday? Letters to the Editor. You know, that can be kind of boring, but on the other hand, if you want to feel what may be going on in the community, you might want to take a little time to read the letters to the editor. And write down the same thing, Brother Rick, was this here, in the religious world, I think it was. This she-male preacher, she has an article about baptism, how she's a Lutheran, and she's saying how that baptism makes you part of the kingdom of God. And you know, you say, well, why don't you write and talk to her? Well, I have to remember this, that you can, if you're not careful, you can do what? To cast your pearls before what? But those who read the newspaper, they've got a pretty good sales pitch on why you should be baptized, and they're talking about sprinkling babies too. So I'm glad, Rick, you took time to deal with that subject. Anything else?
As far as request for prayer.
Yes.
Pray for Del and Nancy and Debbie. They're coming in tomorrow.
Yes.
And to settle things up.
Yes.
So it's going to be hard for them. So
That's Mrs. Fox, the son.
Right.
And the wife?
No, two daughters.
Two daughters.
Nancy and Debbie.
My sister-in-law, Tom Klotz, is in Roseview for therapy now. She broke her pelvis.
Sister-in-law, Bob's sister-in-law. Give us the first name again. We have
Pat.
Patricia. Patricia. Who else?
We expect to see Jerome tomorrow.
Yes.
Friday.
Pray for their time with Jerome, former prisoner, and down in Harrisburg. Pray for the prisoners too, won't you? Who else? Anyone else? Hope you have a great time. Right.